Tanya. We did the Tzudos and the Rashi. Let's just see a few more short ideas before we go further. Okay, so we rastically the Olam. Okay, let's go here at the bottom. Let's start with what it says at the very bottom of the page, on page 38, on the very bottom, on the Likutei Shas Urid Roshei HaTanoim. Mirastichli li'oilam, mirastichli b'tzedek v'mishru v'chesav rachamim. Over here, it brings down the Chazal in Ovois Rabbeinu Nosson. You know what that is? Ovois Rabbeinu Nosson. It's a very, I never knew that was until pretty recently. It's another version of Masechta Ovois.
Yes.
It's much more, it's much longer.
Yes.
Art Scroll, not that long ago, they published a nice volume. A very nice volume with a translation and a very light elucidation of Ovois Rabbeinu Nosson. I had no idea what that was. Shnam Aretz. Okay, what?
It was from one of the reasons that we don't learn it is that he was one of the guys who conspired against Rav Gamliel with Rameya. With the whole...
To throw him out.
That's the reason. We don't learn it.
We don't learn it.
I mean, you don't hear about it. It was like...
No, it's quoted every so often. You do hear it.
Yeah, very rarely, though. I mean, we learn all Pirkei Avos, but not
Avos.
That's the reason.
Because he was the opposition.
Delegated to obscurity.
Interesting, very interesting. Maybe we should spend some time on that one day. Okay, very interesting. Learn more about Elvis Rabbeinu Nosson.
It's in the Gemara. It's in the Gemara.
I know. But I don't know who's Rabbeinu Nosson, who was the opposition to he tried to like to convince. I mean, they threw him out. Okay, they asked the Chalili Olam. So here's some Elvis Rabbeinu Nosson. He writes to them very fascinating. Show me this. Shem. Okay, this little esoteric. There are seven midos that the reason why I'm saying this is because a lot of the mefarshim on the page, they draw from this. This is the source of a lot of the. I find that pattern to be very true in almost everything. Almost every page from the sefer is that the Likutei Shas in Midrashei Hatanoim is the foundation. Very often for all of the commentaries. All of the Mefarshim, their ideas are all rooted in the Maimori Chazal that you'll see here on the bottom. And they interpret the words of Chazal, everyone according to his own way. But you see the source, once you see the source, so right away you have a much greater appreciation of what, when you learn the Mefarshim, what they're trying to say. And what does it say? What is the source of all of these Mefarshim? Sheva midos shemi shamshois lufnei kisei hakavod. If you have kisei hakavod, you're in trouble. It's something a little too esoteric. Even though we say davening every day, asher yotzar, golui v'yodua lufnei kisei chivoydecha. From all nusach hatfilos that you can say, the kisei hakavod is dafka when you come out of the beis hakisei. That itself is very fascinating. Wisdom, tzedek, umishpat, chesed, verachamim. So notice those four are our pasuk, but not chochma. Ms. v'shalom. Period. Okay. So the other three are chochma, ms, and shalom. Where do we get the four? So it says verastichli li oylam, verastichli b'tzedek v'mishpat chesed verachamim, verastichli b'amuna v'yodat es Hashem. So how do you know, where do you get seven? What's the makor? This is very, very bizarre Chazal. He says there are seven, and we quote these two psukim, and we have seven. It's not, I don't see seven, I see four. I see chesed, I see tzedek, mishut chesed racham. Where are you getting? So you have to darshan. And what do you have to say? Das is chochmah. Right? Isn't that so? Das, knowledge, is chochmah. So we're going backwards. The pasuk v'yodat es Hashem, you shall know Hashem. That's chokhmah. Now, tzedek v'chesed racham. What about ms v'shalom? Where is there ms and shalom? So they rastich li'olam. Li'olam l'chayre is ms, because Hashem's the chasima of Hakadosh Baruch Hu is ms. The first letter of the aleph bays is aleph. The middle letter is mem. The last letter is tof. Ms. Ms is kayam l'olam. That even though we do not see, we see in this world corruption, we see in this world problems, but in the big picture, Hashem is Ms. When you're dealing with time, we don't have patience. We are only here for a very short period of time, a teeny little slice of time. But if we were given the opportunity to see things from beginning to end, we indeed would see Ms. Ms needs time. le'olam. And where is shalom? So I'm suggesting that this is probably the most difficult of them all, is emunah. Emunah is peace. When a person has faith, then you're at peace. A person that does not have emunah, you have questions, you have complaints, there's bitterness. Life is very difficult. It's a very, very, it's a very difficult journey. And the key of inner peace, inner peace, a person to be able to be at peace with himself and not have questions and tightness on this world, you need emunah. So
the way he's lining it up here.
I know the order is not this. Not is not right.
Makes sense. But shtichliyah means chachma. You realize that like Avraham Avinu understood.
Yeah.
There was a creator in the world. It wasn't just
So what are you matching up? What are you matching up the word das with the chachma with?
No.
Lo'ilam.
That's the chachma. You come to understand.
So there are seven midas. The first midah is chachma. Which midah are you matching up chachma to in these two psukim?
Le'olam.
So you want to say, like, why le'olam? Why is chachma le'olam?
Because forever, I understand that there's a higher element in the world.
Le'olam?
He's putting it in that seder. If you look at the way Lekutishas is putting it, mamash.
That's a chazal. He's quoting a chazal.
Yeah, Bidatus Hashem in Sholem. It's got to be MS. Because.
Let me first give Mr. Rapport, then we'll say of Meir's Chidushim. Mr. Rapport is saying is that Le'olam is going in order, it's Chachma. Why is Le'olam Chachma? Explain. Let Mr. Rapport explain.
No, I'm just thinking, it takes Chachma to know that there's a Bari Olam, he's going to be here.
Of course. It takes Chachma.
So
why is that Le'olam? How does that...
We say that we say it davening every morning.
Yeah.
I've got the pasuk where it is that we say Hashem will be before the world, Hashem will be after the world.
Yeah.
We say the Le'olam, Hashem.
So why is that chachma? What's the word chachma?
What does chachma mean?
Knowledge.
So to know there's a Bari Olam, somebody's controlling the world.
But what does that relate to Le'olam? We're only here for a very short period of time. We're not here Le'olam. And yet there are many chachamim, talmidei chachamim, they have knowledge. It's because they understand the world. Okay, so let's now go to the next. Okay, so that'd be considered. Now let's go. Let me finish, and then we'll go to you, Meir. One second. Then we go to the next. Next is emunah. Emunah is shalom, right? Emes. That's emes. If you're going in order, emunah is emes.
Next,
that's or that's pashut pasuk. That's the first pasuk. Right. That's pashut. That's the pasuk.
Emunah, the way he describes it here, is emes, truth.
Why?
Emunah
is emes.
According to the way he's
given. I know, according to the order. If you follow the order, then it comes out that emunah is emes, okay?
Right.
And then the last one is das. Das shalom. Is shalom. Why is das shalom?
Because if you come to true emunah, then you will know Hashem.
Yosef das, Yosef nichayv. The more you know, the more pain you have. There's less peace. I hear what you're saying. I hear it. There's an order. We have to go in order. Right. Absolutely.
Okay,
but when I learned this, the order I find doesn't fit. So I think the other way around, when you change the order, it fits like a glove. Emes is certainly le'olam. The Hashem, we say this in the Nusach on Rosh Hashanah, we say, the Mamish, there's this expression in the Nusach of Rosh Hashanah, of that your emes stands le'olam. Okay, I don't remember. You don't remember? There's someone in Rosh Hashanah davening. MS Atu Rishonatu Achonumil in Nuska, that's every single day. Very good. MS Atu Rishonatu Achonumil, Bibaldecha Ein, Rishon Achon. MS, the MS of Kodesh Baruch Hu is Le'olam. It is the Chasima, it stands Shekhar Loikoi, MS Koi. Shekhar does not stand. Shekhar has a short life, very short shelf life. MS is Koi Le'olam, it goes, it endures forever. I think it fits very well into the word. MS fits very well into the word le'olam. When it comes to emunah, I think that fits very much into the theme of peace. People who have emunah have very peaceful lives. You're able. You don't have questions. You have a faith. And the last one was das and chachma are synonymous. It's not chiddush to say that das and chachma. And the other four are perfectly fine. Okay, so there is Mr. Rapport. You're right. There's a seder.
Not Rapport's right.
It's a seder. It's a seder. I have difficulty, so I'm suggesting to reverse the change the seder, and then they all fit in. Now we come to Rabbeinu Meir. Go.
It's question. What is there a speed in there?
Marriage.
Married, you have to have chachma because you can't marry a shaita.
Nice to call you in.
Right or wrong?
Oh, yeah.
Number one. Number two,
yeah.
You can't understand Tzedek, Mishpat, Chesed, or Rachman if you don't have Chachma.
Okay, so.
You have to have Chachma the first time.
Dain Mochiach. There's something like Oilam. Dvarcha, there's a word, I think the word MS, the Nusach and the Nusach are MS with the word Oilam together. Okay. Kayim La'at, okay. Kayim La'at. But what you just said also. Ato MS Ato Harishon Viatu Acharon. You see, MS is Rishon Acharon, end to end. Okay, Shramay, what do you want to say? You want to say that it's because you need Chachma? Okay, what are the other two?
Basic thing.
What?
Chachma is the basic.
Reish is Chachma Yiras Hashem. So what's the Oilam?
The last thing is Bemuna, that you understand. What is it? To us, it's Amuna, but on the Kaviyoch side, it's MS. We believe that everything
no
is
Emuna, and it's MS. Okay, I hear Emuna is MS because we don't see the big picture. But if we would see the big picture, it would be indeed be MS. Okay, and Shalom is Das. How is Das Shalom?
Is Hashem.
How is that Shalom?
The name of Hashem. This is when you reach the Madrego.
Das, your Das is Hashem. So you come to Hashem's
Shalom
name.
Is above Chachma.
Stretch. Stretching it.
There's a cloud above it.
I like my pshat the best. I'm no gabadavar. I'm no gabadavar, yeah?
To find maybe a response to this idea is to take people that we know or we've read about, how did they, and if they lived a good life, how did they achieve? What came to them first? Was it Yiras Hashem first? Was it Chokhmah first? Was it having fun first? Was it Emuna first? What was the order of their lives?
This is the focus of the
Melech Shlomo. Where did he first? He had to ask special for Chokhmah. Chokhmah came later. Maybe he was everything else first. Maybe he was first Emuna. Maybe he was first Mishpat. So we have to use that evidence to know.
You have to study people. We have to go to the Gedolim books.
Well, we have to go and they write books about them all the time.
That's
what
right.
Hit them first.
That's okay.
What hit the stipler first? What made them what he was? What did they see first?
You see one thing about Gedolim. You see that the Nisyonos of life is what made them into Gedolim.
Nisyonos of life?
The test. Stop a person that lives a good life. Baruch Hashem, they become great people. But what makes great people, I think you see this more often, is that when they go through very difficult tukufos, and they grow from it. Like people who went through the war, anyone who went through the war and survived, even if he's not a Talmud Chacham, even if he doesn't open up a sefer, he just survived the war. And he's a shomer Torah mitzvahs, and even if he's not a shomer Torah mitzvahs, a different person. It's a whole different breed. They saw things. They're different people. I mean, there's nothing to talk about. You can't even put someone from this generation, someone take a kid today in 10th grade, and compare him to a person who went through World War II.
Different nisyonos.
What?
Different nisyonos. They talk about it all the time, how the young people today are having a terrible time.
They have nisyonos, but it's not the nisyonos that they had. It's true.
It's how they handle it. It's not so much nisyonos. It's what tufa.
You're right. Every generation has its unique challenges. Has its unique challenges. But people who saw their families, who suffered, went to concentration camps, saw their families suffer and lost everything, and had to come back and rebuild. They're a different breed. It's a different. You can't even relate to them. That made them great. They have the ability to deal with the difficulties and persevere and come ahead, go ahead in a healthy frame of mind. They're great people. You can't even go near these people.
So we're looking at to relate to
okay, whatever this is. Okay, so we have over here these seven midos. Okay, just something you have to keep in mind. There are seven. You put on your tefillin and you say these shripsukim. You're really recounting what it says here. Lefnei the kisei hakavod. Okay, the kisei hakavod is not only
when we established it that we say the shripsukim when we put it short on the tefillin.
I have no idea. I really don't know because it's comfortably anshe kness hagadoylo. Look or not.
Does everyone have the nusach to say it?
I don't know. I think so. Not that I know. I don't really don't know. I don't know, Ashkenaz, I never saw anyone, I didn't really ask too much around, but I'm assuming it's a universal minhag to say these two psukim when you wrap, when you make the it can't be that it goes back. How far could it go back? I have no idea. No idea.
Well, you bring it down a pasuk here.
Because we're a kala. Klali's shol is a kala. Yeah, where are you reading from? Okay, that's the next chazal. Let's go further. Okay, let's go further. This is Vyadatis Hashem. Okay, now we go to another drasha. Okay, so the first drasha was there are seven midas.
Answering his question, he the second sukkim that tied into the
yacht. Well, let's see. What are you reading from? Right, that's what I read from. So we read the first chazal. The first chazal was there are seven. Look, read it again. Sheva midos. There are seven midos. Shemisham shoyis lufnei kisei hakavod Elohim. Chochma tzedek mishpat chesed v'racham emes v'sholayim. In this pasuk, there's only four of them. The four middle ones. Tzedek mishpat chesed rachamim. Where do you get the other three? Chochma emes v'sholayim. Okay, that's what we just spent 10 minutes discussing. Shenemar, we quote this one pasuk which teaches us all seven. Ve'erastich li li'olam, ve'erastich li b'tzedek, u'v'mishpat u'v'chesed rachmim. Ve'erastich li b'emuna v'yodat es Hashem. And from that one pasuk you derive seven, these seven midos. Four are explicit, three you have to somehow understand, extrapolate that the other three mentioned, l'olam, emuna, and das, is the other three. We just had a discussion. Is it in order? If it's in order, you're going to have a very difficult time explaining to me how the word L'Olam refers to Chachma. You're going to have a very difficult time telling me how the word Shalom refers to Emuna, and how the word Emes refers to Emuna, and how Shalom refers to Das. I told you, if you switch it around, you say that Das, that Chach Das is Chachma. That's very simple. And Emes refers to L'Olam, which I think is very straightforward, and Shalom is Emuna, then you got all seven, they fit into the pasuk very nicely. What? No, you disagree.
No.
You have a right to disagree. I want people, it would be no fun if everyone would agree. That's all the fun. The debate, the dialogue. Shenemar, Ve'erastich li l'fan, Ve'erastich li l'fan. Let's go further. Now we come to the mayor. And Meir says, "Mat hamolam of yodat es Hashem." It's a new drasha. This is not a new drasha. What does it mean? Yodat es Hashem elam olamit shekol adam sheyish boy kol hamidas halalu yodea data shel machar. A new drasha. Anyone that has all of these midos, the whole separate drasha, he knows the data shel machar ruach hakodesh. A person that has veirastichli, I guess chesed mishva chesed rachmim. Veirasechli be'amuna. If you combine everything that it says in the pesukim until here, v'yodat es Hashem, this is the way a person will be zeichet to ruach hakodesh. Maybe you want to call it das Torah. Okay, this term which everyone likes to make a drush about. What is das Torah? Can someone define for us this coined expression that exists in this world, das Torah? Big mishra, the agudas Yisrael, they like to throw around this term. Okay, they like to throw around the term Das Torah. No one really knows what it means. And anytime someone tries to give you a definition of Das Torah, they get into a lot of trouble. They come under attack. Is that really what Das Torah means? But here we have a Maamar Chazal. The Taka talks about the Datoy Shel Mokoyim, and it makes it as a prerequisite to have all of the Midos mentioned in the beginning of these Psukim. Now we come to another Chazal. This is very popular. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Moy Rasha. Moy Rasha is an inheritance. The Gemara here is making a drasha. Do not read Moira Shah with a shin. Make believe it's spelled with a samach. That's a very popular technique that's used by Chazal. If you change it to Moira Shah, the shorish then is an arusa. Arusa, reish sin, sam, reish samach, is an arusa, a woman who is betrothed, a woman who is married. Al tihi kore Moira Shah with a sin, ela me'oirasa, and we're also adding over here an aleph. Notice he's sneaking an aleph. We change the sin, the shin, to a samach, which is allowed, and the moi, I guess, when you have a cholam me'oirasa. I'm not sure how that works. I really don't know how that works. The cholam allows for an aleph, maybe it does, and an arusa Arusa. Melamed Shatoira Arusa Li Yisrael. It's our wife. We're married to the Torah. And thus we have obligations. So B'nai Shatoira Arusa Li Yisrael. It's a two-way marriage, a double ring ceremony. Shenemar Ve'erastichli Li Oilam Ve'erastichli Be'amuna. So we are married. So Mitzad Echad, we are the Chosan. And Mitzad Sheni, we are the Kala. Two different Chazal. Very descendants of Chazal, we find a clash with the Chosan. We're the Chosan. And the Torah is the Kala. And other times, we are the Kala, and Hashem is the Chosan. When do we find very more often than not, then we are the Chosan? On Shavuos. On Shavuos, the Torah, we view the Torah as our Kala. We take the Torah from the Sefer Torah to the Bima, we decorate the Bima some places, but the Chassidim decorate it with a chuppah, and even the minute they have a ksuba, they read the ksuba. There's a special ksuba that I don't know who wrote this ksuba. There's a very popular ksuba which basically is our obligation to the kala. When a person gets married, there's a ksuba. A man has obligations to his wife. There's a ganz nusach that we say at a wedding. So that wedding, that nusach alludes to the relationship between us and the Torah. And this nusach has been revised, has been adapted, and I don't know who wrote it, but there are some minhagim more common among Hasidim that before they begin Akdamas, they read the Ksuba. The Ksuba, this nusach has tefilat, kapiot, that is a Ksuba, just like under the Chuppah, we read the Ksuba, representing our obligation to the Torah. So we see that it goes so far that we are the Chosan, the Torah is the Kala. But Mitzad Sheni, we are the Kala, and Hashem is the Chosan. So in our relationship with Hashem, we are the Kala, and in our relationship with the Torah, we are the Chosan. Yisrael, V'Oiraisa, V'Kudsho Brichu, Chadi. There are three parts to the relationship: Hashem, us, and the Torah. And in this triple relationship, this trio, some dimension of it demands that we be the Chosan, and some dimension of this relationship demands that we be the Kala. Yeah.
You also have the Chosan Torah.
The Chosan Torah, exactly, excellent. Exactly, and Simchas Torah, the same idea, that we are the Chosan and the Torah is the Kala. Torah is the Kala.
Who are the Edom on that Kesubah?
Who are the Edom? The Shemayim Varetz. Hazinu HaShemayim Va'adadera V'Sishma Aretz Imrefi. The Shemayim Varetz, they are the witnesses. They are the witnesses to the Kabbalah Satorah. And, you just reminded me, okay, let's go for the Minayim Shatorah, the Shosh Nema, V'Erastach, L'Yoyim, V'Erastach, L'Yemunah. Okay, so this is a beautiful Maamar Chazal that puts everything in proper perspective. Now let's go to a little bit of the Gra. We're not going to read the whole Gra. The Gra is very complicated. The Gra is Kedarka. You get a little appreciation of his brilliance. What? But Edus, for Edom of Shemayim Varetz. And we have over here also, the next pasuk is also going to talk about that the Shemayim Varetz, they're witnesses. Okay, let's just touch, just to touch a little bit on the Gra. Not to go dwell too much, because it goes way, way, way out. Let's see, pasuk.
The Shulchan Aruch brings that, it's a minhag to tie the krichas.
It's a minhag.
It's a minhag.
Minhag, right, a minhag.
Surround it. Putting on tefillin, you don't have time to put it on to catch up with, let's say, a baruch or a shema, whatever. You put on your shayad, make one turn,
and go right to the finger.
Don't put on your shayad.
No, but you have to go do at least two.
The only thing you have to have is the length of the ritzua has to reach your middle finger.
Right.
That's the halacha of Moshe Sinai. But the form of the thing is all minhag. You see that different people tie different ways. Counterclockwise. Counted, they put a shin, and then a dalet, a shin.
How many times do you wrap around your arm?
So, 7.5 or 8?
8?
8 or 6?
I'm never at 8. It's brought down either 6 or 7. Six. Most people do 7. Okay, most do 7.
No, but what means when they do 8, they're not counting the first one. It's not evenly. Seven complete.
Right.
The first and the last are only like halfway.
Yeah, but the two halves make one.
Some do 6.
So it looks like 8 from the angle that you look at.
Okay, these are all very minhag. You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he put on tefillin, everyone knows his famous story.
Right.
He held that you put on tefillin, you put on the tefillin. He only did, he did one.
He said that he immediately, when he put on the shaliyad, he taught us that he right away went to
finger,
put on
immediately.
The finger.
That's
because that wasn't tatifa until.
That's the kshira.
Right.
The kshira has to be, so it's a pella. Why we don't do this? We wrap it around. We just wrap it around. We don't do it on the finger until after we put on the shalrosh. Rav Moshe, that's totally wrong. You're missing the ikar is you should do it on the finger. So you would put on the shul, you had to wrap it around, I think, once or twice, and right away wrap around his finger. Then he put on the shul rosh, and then he said Baruch Shem, and then he went back and he took off the finger and he did this seven times and did it on his finger.
Told us this,
so Rav David Feinstein, so someone's watching Rav David Feinstein, right. and everyone in Hilchas Tfilin, this it says Rav Moshe did, and it says there Rav Shimon Ida's book, Rav Shimon Ida was a Talmud of Rav Moshe, and he said this is what Rav Moshe did, and that's not the Minhag Yisrael. Don't do it. That's not if you do the Minhag Yisrael. This is to do like what everyone else does. You put on, you wrap around seven times, then you wrap it around your hand a little bit, you put on the Shal Rosh, then you go back and you do around your finger. So the same story where every Bar Mitzvah boy knows Rav Moshe did, and that we don't do that. So they figured at least Rav David Feinstein, he should do what his father did. So they watched him. And he didn't. He did like everyone else. So someone says, "How come you don't do what your father did, what it says in all the Svarim? They bring up from your father." So Rav David Feinstein says, "I don't know. The one who taught me to put on tefillin when I was 13 years old was my father, and he taught me to do it like this."
Because he didn't do it like that right away. He came to the conclusion
later on.
Sure, or
maybe wanted his son to be like everyone else. It's very important for a person to be.
This a couple of months ago.
It's very important
ago,
to be like
years.
Everyone else. My brother told me that. My brother had his boy ready. He's a very big, he's a big boy now. But he told me when he put his boy in yeshiva. He lives in Lakewood, so he doesn't have payas. I don't have payas. We don't have payas. We never had payas. Modern people. We don't have payas. So he lives in Lakewood. He went and he lives in Lakewood, so he put his boy in cheder. So he doesn't want his boy to have payas. He doesn't believe in it. So he said, "But what am I going to do? Everyone in the class has payas. They all have payas. So he's not going to have payas. So he should stand out and be different. It's not fair to him. If this is what everyone in the class does, and for whatever reason I have, this is where I have to put him. The big picture of things, this is the best school for him. So, pay us. So, I'm not going to make him be different than everyone else. That's not a healthy thing to do to a child."
Yeah, but Shmuel brings it down also in one of his
sermons. Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, you go to a shul, everyone else is putting a talis over the head.
Yeah.
Your minhag is not.
Well, you're an adult. That's already different. And today we live in a melting pot. That's already.
No,
that's
but
much.
Everyone else is doing it.
It's tolerated. I don't know. You go to a shul. That's different. I think that's different because today we live in a melting pot. There's a lot of tolerance for something like that. Children are very impressionable. They're very sensitive, and there's a lot of bullying going on in school. And when you stand out as being different, you know it's not healthy for a little child. An adult, you go to sleep, you talus over your head, not over your head, you have Sephardi, you have Ashkenazi, you have a white talus, you have a colored talus. Does someone even pay attention anymore? No, I don't think anyone pays attention. I don't pay attention. Do I even know, I think if we look at a person, do I even know what kind of yarmulke they have, the hat? It doesn't even register.
But what about, you told us a story yourself. Remember you davening in Royers? You were there for a morning davening, and the assistant put on the talus.
I davened. My cousin. I was very angry, so I was very there. I went to a bris in the Spanish Portuguese synagogue,
right.
And I was davening there, and I'm standing there. It was, you know, it's half empty. It's three quarters empty during the weekday for a bris.
Right.
I'm sitting there all the way up there on the bleachers. I'm minding my own business, and this fellow comes over to me and says, he gives me a talis. Now, if you give me a nice talus, maybe I would like it. He gives me one of these, a talus is a very shvach talus. I mean, and he says, "You have to put the talus on." I said, "What?
Yeah.
I'm not married. I don't want to wear a talus." He says, "No, this is the minhag in this shul. You have to wear a talus." I'm looking at him.
Did they make you wear a hat too?
No. What are you talking about? What are you talking about over here? This is the minhag over here. There are only 15, 20 people over here, 30 people, whatever it is. This massive room. I'm sitting here in the back on the top. You don't even know. No one even know, can even notice that I exist. and you're going, you're harassing me to put on a talus that I don't feel comfortable wearing? What are you doing to me? So I try to like brush him off. And he went and he was hacking away and he was giving me the business until I just gave in to him. So, okay, I guess. No, he wasn't even the gabbai. He wasn't even the gabbai. What he does. This was his thing. This is the talisman to go around. I'm like, what's going on over here?
The other part of the story, the guy that came in after you. Remember you told us
I don't remember what I said. What happened? I don't remember.
Came after. You're watching. Did he go to him also?
Yeah, did he?
Yeah.
He did. I guess this is what his tafkid is to make sure everyone...
In the Chaim Salman Shul in Philadelphia, they have like the table that's set up in Talasim when you walk in. Now everybody's there wearing a yarmulke, but they have the table with 40 or 50 hats.
Hats, special hats.
And you can't even daven without... You know, nobody puts their talus over their head, but you must wear a hat during davening. And just they give out, you have a table there, and you take it. If you come in without your own hat, you take a hat from the table. They're all nice hats. And
you have to follow. In Rome, you do like the Romans. Yesterday's daf, right? In Rome, you do like Romans. All right, let's go back. What's your bra? They had up. You had up, Sharon. We had up, Sharon. You're kidding? What are you kidding?
What's interesting, the story you said about the kid, it used to be the opposite. The kid with pace was the one that was the opposite.
Times have changed.
And now it's just, everything just...
Everything
right
changed,
over.
And you can't, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't change the world, you can't change, there's just a koyach in the world that there's nothing you could possibly do about it.
I just want to add one more thing, Rabbi Shulman, I'm pretty sure I heard him say that the rush holds... That you put on your shell yacht and you don't do the.
You don't, right?
Because it's a hefset. You put on the shell, right?
You don't do the seven klichas, like Rav Moshe. But the round finger is called the kshira. So that's the ikar. Ukashartem le'osal yodecha. That's the ikar. Because that's in halacha called the final kshira. One, like Rav Moshe did. It's a hefset to go do seven times. To just do it one time and do around the finger to mimchazek it. Ask about the finger. Ask him about the rush and the finger.
The reason you need the finger is because if it's not tied to one end, it doesn't stay.
Unravels.
It's not called a kshira.
It unravels. Right. So doing it seven times, it's going to loosen up. So it really is a wonder why we don't do it like Rav Moshe. It really, we do it seven times. I think it's a hefsek. The whole wind of seven times is totally a minuk. There's no makar to go do seven times. So you're wasting time in being mafsek in the bracha. And then you come to the finger, the ikar, you don't even do. We do what's tafel, and we do not do what is an ikar. And Moshe had exactly that issue. You're doing the tafel, not the ikar, so just don't do the tafel, do the ikar, wrap it around your finger two times, put on the shel rosh, and then you can go back and you can fix everything up. Not that I know of. I have not looked into it. Not that I know of. I don't know. I do not know. I don't know. Okay. It says also Mishnah. My father asked in this question. It says also Mishnah Berurah that you're supposed to wear tefillin during a bris. You're supposed to wear tefillin. You're supposed to, everyone. Not just the everyone. Everyone in the shul is supposed to wear tefillin during the bris. Today you go to the average bris. Everyone, there's no one wearing tefillin except for, well, either you start right away, except for the Baal HaBris, the Sandik, not all the time even, the Sandik, and the Moil depends, some Moil, most Moil not, because they need to be dexterous, they need to be able to move around, agile. If they're going to have the tefillin on their head, they feel limited. So they don't. A lot of them do not wear it.
90% of Bris, they're always looking for a talus. Even if it's right after davening,
because then no one's wearing it. Because no one's wearing a towel.
They don't have a towel. They have to dig up a towel.
So we went to a bris and in the family, and Rav Dovid Feinstein was there, and Rav Dovid Feinstein took off his tefillin right after davening. So my father asked him, "What's the pshat? What's the pshat that you take off your tefillin and the Gantz Oilam takes off their tefillin when it says in Mishnah Berurah you're not supposed to do this?" So he said, "Bizman hazeh, we're not nizer in the kiddush of tefillin." Tefillinism, as you're wearing the shame Hashem, there are 42 shemos for not nizer, the less the better.
Right.
And therefore, if you're davening, you daven, until the bris is going to start, people are going to, they're going to schmooze, they're going to take out their smartphones, they're going to do all these things. It's a zilzal in the kedusha of tefillin. So you're right, me'igar I did, we should keep it on the whole day. And certainly we should keep it on for the bris smila. at least everyone in the audience, right? Everyone in the shul. But because, unfortunately, we are not holding where we should, and we're not treating the tefillin with kedusha, it's not the worst thing. It's not such a bad idea that everyone in the shul should, if they're not accustomed to wearing tefillin for long periods of time, so take it off. Take it off before you start schmoozing and start asking, you know what goes on. Take off the Baal Bris. The Baal Bris, the Sandik, the Moil, if he wants, they know the halacha, they should be nizr, they should wear the tefillin during the. That's what he told my father. All right, let's go further. Now, so let's see the Gra just very quickly. The Gra on page, Veirastich, page 38. It's on the bottom, the left column. No, it's through the right column. Yes, there are two gross. I'm just gonna do a little bit, very little bit. I'm not gonna jump around very much. Let's see, so it's 38 on this Biuri HaGra. There are two massive columns on the right side, on the bottom. On the bottom. No, I'm one little, let's just read a little bit over here what it says on the bottom. I want to tell you a little bit of a drush. Chav Aleph Chav Beis. He opens up our eyes to a bit of a drush. Chav Aleph Chav Beis, Ve'rastich Li, Shalosh Tanim. Why does it say the word verastically three times? So make three rings. Three times, vehein shloisha kiddushin shaloisha kiyadua. I told you until we started this, a man is mekadei shenisha with kesef, shtar, and bia. There are three techniques. One, not all three. One or the other. So therefore, because of here we're dealing with marriage, verastich, there are three ways a man can marry a woman with kesef, shtar, and bia. And that's why it says three times the word verastich three times. A beautiful drush from the Gra. Now, next. Another drush. Vehein shalosh pramim kadosh kadosh kemosha kosef beraya mehemna parshas bereishis. What's raya mehemna? That's the Zoyar. The Zoyar and parshas bereishis. V'negis therefore v'neged Hashem tzivokos v'lochos kudo shu b'yisoid omar v'yodates Hashem shadas b'yisoid kidua b'yisoid v'yeda odom od es ishto. Okay, I don't know what this means, but just we touched upon one thing that I find very interesting. I want to speak it out. For two seconds, one of my, what do you call it, pet peeve? Is that the expression? Your favorite? Your obsession with this idea? And it has applications in many, many places. The Gra says, the reason why it says three times, Veirastich, 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 is Keneged Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. What does that mean? What is the translation of the words Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh? Until I grew up, I always thought it meant Hashem is super duper holy. Right? You know, there's Shalashuddis. There's a regular shalashuddis, and then there's super deluxe shalashuddis, and then there's the super duper deluxe shalashuddis. Right? And you grew up in such a shul that had different madrigals of a.
That's who was donating the shalashuddis.
Exactly. Yeah. Depends what the occasion is. Okay, super deluxe, super duper deluxe, and you have a kiddush also, you have a regular kiddush, a super deluxe, and a super duper deluxe kiddush. So I always thought when you say everything in davening, you know, a little boy, you daven, kadosh, kadosh, what's the repetition? Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. It means Hashem is super duper deluxe kodesh. Right? That's what I always thought it meant. But as you get older, you learn everything you've been taught when you were a child is wrong. And the real meaning is what actually the Targum and Ashrei Volotzin. Ashrei Volotzin would say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And we have here the advantage where the Targum translates. We read every day, this morning. I hope you all said it this morning. Hope I said it this morning. Think back if I said it. We translate it. So what does the first word Kadosh mean? On the Kablein, Dein, Min, Dein, the angels, they receive permission from one another. They engage in preparation from one another. The Omrin, and they say as follows. Kaddish b'shmei miroima ilo'o b'shechinte. Hashem is holy in the heavens. Okay, I must have told you this idea a million times. Hashem is holy. Holy number one is holy in the highest heavens. Okay, b'shmei miroima in the heavens, the exalted heavens, ilo'o, that are very high. Three words which mean very high. Heaven, miroima, ilo'o, b'shechinte, the place of his holy abode, his holy divine presence. Next. Kaddish, Kadosh, number two is Kaddish al Ara, on the earth. This world, would you believe it? In this world, Ovad, this world is the product, Givurte, of his might. A very unique way to describe this earth. Okay, this earth is a product of Hashem's Givura. Why is it called Gevura? Let me just tell you a very nice pshat. You know, for davening is because the world was created with the Shem Shakai. And what does Shammai mean? She'omar le'olamoy dai. Enough. Hashem could have made the world a lot nicer, a lot greater, a lot more. Hashem said, dai. I'm creating the world, it's a beautiful world, but dai. I don't want you to go all the way. What is, when you hold back, what is that called? Gevura. Ezehu gibor hakoivesh es yitzroy. True gevura is restraint. Restraint. The world was created with restraint. Shakai. She'omar le'olamoy dai. There should really be more. Whatever more means, I don't know. Whatever more means, it means. But Hashem said, I don't want. I'm going to hold back. Dai. That's what it means. We say this every single day. Ovad. Ovad means the product. It is the product, givurte, of Hashem's givura, His might, she'omar le'olamoy dai. Okay, that itself is a good var. Just shot in the nusach. That's the world. The world is holy. Now the third thing, this is unbelievable. This really touches upon string theory. Rabbi is a bucky in string theory. Okay, and you go listen to the radio, the NPR. I've listened for years. Baruch Hashem, I have now listened to Ler. What's his name? That guy on the radio. He's still there. He's still hacking away every day.
No, yeah, I think they threw him. No, that was really low.
Oh, he was really nuts, that guy. Real leftist. Okay, in any event, string theory. String theory, Kaddish, time. Zman. Kaddish, le'olam, ule'olmei olmayo. Hashem's holiness is le'olam. There are three dimensions to Hashem's holiness. There is holiness in Shemayim, there is holiness on this world, and there is holiness in time. It's very difficult. What does one half do with the other? What is time? Maybe you'll say holiness in Shemayim, okay? Holiness on this world, okay? We are able to relate to these two. But what is Zman? Zman is the glue that keeps together this world and the Shemayim. Because in Shemayim, there is no such thing as time. Hashem is Hoya. The most abstract thing in this world is time, but yet the most gashmiistic thing in this world is time. The fact that we live in a world of time, linear time, and you can't go backwards, and everything has a moment, that is something that only exists in this world. In Shemayim, that doesn't exist. What does that mean? No one knows what that means. It's impossible to understand what this means. But here we say every single day, Hashem is holy in Shemayim, holy in this world, and Hashem is holy in Zman. Somehow Zman, this relationship between the Zman in this world and the lack of Zman in the Olam HaEmes, somehow is the connection between this world and Shemayim. And in science they understand that theoretically, it's something called string theory, the higher you go, the more further away you go from the sun, the more further away you go from gravity, time is different.
They proved it already.
Time. And therefore, theoretically, you want to suggest that there's a possibility to go back in time. If you go out further, far away enough, and you go into a world where there is time operates on a different level, and you somehow go into this twilight zone, and then you come back, no? There's some science behind science, not necessarily science fiction.
It's theoretically possible, but not realistic. But you have to be able to travel at faster than the speed of light to do it, and that's the problem.
Okay, whatever it is. So here we have over here Chazal. Chazal knew all the secrets. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Three dimensions of Kedusha. So the Gross says, what does the Gross say? It says something amazing, that these psukim that we see every single day when you put the rings around on your finger, chorus, v'erastech lilio, v'erastech li b'tzedek v'chesed v'mishu v'chesed v'rachim, v'erastech li b'emuna, correspond to kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Now, let's figure this out. It appears to work perfectly backwards. V'erastech lili oilam is the third Kedusha. Zman. Kaddish le'olam ulil me'ol mayah. I mean, you can't argue with that, right? This is Rapport. This is not going in order now. You can't argue with it. That's Zman. The second one of Hashem is Kodesh B'tzedek Uver Mishpat Uver Chesed Uver Rachamim. That's on the earth. Okay, that's on the earth because the earth, the earth is the Makayim of Chesed Mishpat. This is where all the action is. This is the world of Tzedek, the world of Mishpat, the world of Chesed. That's where all the activity is taking place. The third Veirastich is Shemayim, Emuna, faith in Hashem. V'yodates Hashem, knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the first Kadosh. The first Kadosh is B'shmei Meroma Ilo'a Beis Shechintei. Hashem's holiness in Shemayim. The second holiness is on this word Al Ara Avad Givurte. That's the middle pasuk. Ve'rastech Lili and La'olam Lo Mil Maya is Ve'rastech Lili Olam. So you see here that we have this, the Groz Mamish telling us the Rashi Prakim. He's telling us these three erastas correspond to Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And when you go to the translation of Kadosh, 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 you see how unbelievable how these three fit in perfectly backwards. Now backwards you should know is very good. Because sometimes we go forward, sometimes we go backwards. And Shabbos, Tikanta Shabbos, Rotzitza Karbon Osecha, there are two different orders. There's an order going forward. By this, the Chazal said that Hashem's order and Hashem's Aleph Beis, the first letter is Tav, and then it's Shin, and then it's Reish, then it's Kuf, and you go backwards. It's first in, last out. File out. First in, last out. So Hashem, when He made the world, everything from Shemayim came down. In order of Hashem. Hashem sent down the letter Tov. He sent down, he's a stack. This world is a stack. Hashem sent down the letter Tov. Hashem sent down the letter Shin. Then the letter Resh. Then the letter Kuf. Then the letter Tzadi. Then the letter Pei. V'chulu. So when it's all done, when we look at it from our perspective, what's the first letter? What's on top of the stack? Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. So the fact that it's backwards is not an issue. It's not a problem.
So who's saying?
Who's speaking?
Who's speaking?
Hashem is... Oh, Givaldik.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Givaldik. Since Hashem is speaking, so Hashem is speaking backwards. Zeman, earth, Shemayim. When we speak it, we say Shemayim, earth, and Zeman. So there's a relationship. It's a double ring ceremony. There's our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the way Hashem relates to us. Okay, so we have over here beautiful words of the Goy. Yeah?
How does one come to
I don't know what it means. I told you I don't know what it means. It just
if we say it's filled with emotion, we have a different motion. I would say the oilam bad oilam at the kel. So we're using the same word oilam, remez.
You're right. I don't know. It's very mystical. What is this? Hashem's holiness is found in the concept of time.
Right,
Kaddish le'olam ul'yolmei olmaya.
So, in Tefillah Moshe, we also have a ghost on, say, ki alof shonu b'endecha, ki amesmo. So, to Hashem...
Time is nothing.
Yeah, time
but that pasuk is discussing linear time. That from our perspective, when the world goes on for 1,000 years, Hashem is nothing. Here we're not focusing on our perspective. We're focusing from Hashem's perspective. From Hashem's perspective, time, Hashem is timeless. Kaddish le'olam, it's just a different focus. It's not
the word olam, it can't be two different gerses in one pasuk and still emotion.
Why not? I don't understand.
And olam el-maya could be a different gersa in the same.
It's not a gersa, this is a targum. This is not a pasuk.
What does olam el-maya mean when the targum is used?
Hashem's holiness is. I don't know what it means. Hashem's holiness is found in the concept of time. That's what I think it means.
But where is your translation coming from the word
Olam? I'm reading the words. I'm not doing anything more than translating. Art scroll translation. I'm just translating the words. It says Kaddish al Arag Ovad Givurte. That's number two. Number three, Kaddish le'olam uliolmei olmaya. That's it. I'm just translating the words. And it's a targum.
There is no concept of time.
Exactly. Eternity. Eternity, having no concept of time and eternity is the same thing. Something which is eternal means you're outside the realm of time.
Right.
It's the same, just two sides of the same coin. Two different ways of expressing the idea. Okay, now let's go a little bit further. This is where it goes off to some very deep ideas here. Yadua. Okay, we're not going to go through all of Yadu. The next line is down the left side. Shashchina Nikra Bas Sheva. This idea itself is very fascinating. David was married to who? Bas Sheva. Bas Sheva, David is the Melech Yisrael. David represents Hashem to a certain degree. Malchusa da Ara Ke'ein Malchusa de Rokia. The reason why Hashem created on this world there should be Malchus is that we should have an appreciation of what Hashem's Malchus is all about. Everything on this world is a dogma for the Shechina. So isn't it amazing that David, the woman to whom he was married to, from whom he had his successor, Shlomo, the queen, was, he had 18 wives, David. 18 wives, and but it says here, but the one who was the mother to the successor was Bas Sheva. And why is she called Bas Sheva? Because the Shechina, the Ribbon Shel Olam, conducts himself l'fnei Chisei HaKavod with seven midos. As we just quoted from the words on the bottom, the Likud, I told you, everything you can read in the Mefarshim is all going to be rooted in the Likud Shas. Hashbal l'fnei Kisei HaKavod, Hashem conducts himself with seven midos. Whatever we said from this psukim. And therefore, the Shechina envelops itself with Bas Sheva. David is the Melech Yisrael. He sits on the Kisei, the throne of Malchus. And next to the Kisei is a seat for the queen. For the queen. And the queen is who? Bas Sheva. This is a dugma and high alma for the Ribbon Shel Olam. V'in ki sheva noshim bo, shav ulamton. Okay, let's already skip the rest. Okay, we're done with this. Because this is all way out stuff. Okay, the grow was the biggest mekubal. Was the biggest mekubal of them all. Okay, and even though the grow was the biggest misnagit, and chassidim are from the mekubalim, but the MS was, the grow was even bigger. The grow was the biggest mekubal. Whatever this means, it means. Now let's jump down to the bottom. Okay, let's jump down to the very, very last paragraph from the bottom. Ve'ras techli li'olam, the pasuk rishon, it says, nemar shalosha kiddushin. He's going back to Pasuk Yutes. He's going back to this section. In this section, it says here, Le'el Pasuk Yutes Nema Sholosh Kiddushin Tikri Ishi. This goes back to Perek Aleph. Okay, it goes back to Perek Aleph. No, I'm sorry. No, that Pasuk Yutes is a mistake here. I think there's a mistake. Look at this. Could it be they made a mistake in the article? Are you talking? It says Pasuk Yutes, Pasuk Yutes. Okay, pasuk yichvoyim hu nu mashem tikri ishi. It's not pasuk yitches, pasuk yites. Mark, you have to go tell them an art scroll. Okay, we get extra credit. We get extra credit over here. We'll give us a free edition.
That should be a mistake.
Okay, pasuk harisha nema sholosh kedushim tikri ishi. The next one is pasuk. Now comes pasuk yites. Fahasirosi eshmos habeolim. Number three is v'lo yizachu od bishmam. There are three different expressions. Three different expressions of removing our old relationships. Our old relationships where we're going to be called ishi, we're not going to be called the ba'alim, and we're not going to even remember them by name. Three different expressions corresponding to the rejection, the three changes that appeared in the beginning of this section, Pasuk Yutches and Yutes, and Chof. Now we go forward, we replace them with three ve'erastiks. Okay, this is like typical Grah. Grah is always counting. Why are Talmidei Chachamim called Seifrim, counters? Because they count. The Grah epitomized this Chazal, everything about the Grah is always counting. Counting a brilliant analysis of patterns and symmetry in Tanakh and Chazal. So we have three different expressions of we're going to be called Ishi, we're not going to be called Bali, and we're not going to be V'lo Yizach Oy Bishmam. Those three correspond to three steps going forward. The three steps going forward are the three Ve'erastichs. Now we turn to the next page of the Gra, which is to be found. Where is this? Where is the next page? Page 40. V'aleim Nemar Shiva Kirisois. There are seven treaties, seven covenants. Who kineged, and this is very beautiful, who kineged Shiva Barachos. Ever wonder why we have Sheva Barachos, 7 days of celebration, On each one's days of celebration, we make seven blessings. Under the chuppah, you make seven blessings. Why? Where does it come from, the seven blessings? So I think that you go, well, 7 days comes from Yaakov Avinu. Malei Shavua Zois. But why seven blessings? So the Gra says, unbelievable, he says the seven blessings are coming from these psukim. The erastich. Besides the fact there are seven midos in this pasuk, we'll say, look back at the seven treaties that Hashem made with us after He changed our name to Ishi. He removed the name Bali, and He also v'lo yizrachu b'shmam, all of the extensions of the word Bali have been removed as well. Okay, 1 second. I just want to turn on my table because my table, my battery died.
What are the seven treaties?
What are the? Oh, so we'll go through one second. Let me just turn this on. Give me a half a second to turn on. In the olden days, when you want to turn on a tape recorder, you press one button. Today, when you want to turn on a tape recorder, you have to press 10 buttons. So, what are the seven? What are the seven? What are the seven blessings? The seven treaties. Go back here to Pasuk. Go back to Pasuk Chaf. So, what does it say? The Chorati L'chem Bris Hayoyim Im Chayas. So, what is the covenant? So, he goes through the seven blessings. Alem Nemar Shiva Krisois. Schuk Neged. Shiva Barachos. V'Shiva Krisois. Elohim V'Chorati L'chem Bris. Number one is with the Chayas HaSodeh. Number two is Zev HaShemayim. Number three is Remes Huadama. Number four is I'm going to remove from you the Keshas. I'm going to remove the Cheref. I'm going to remove Mulchama. V'Shkavtim Lovetach. You're going to lie down in state of security. V'chein M'pasik Zeh Sholosh Kiddushin. V'erastach Li Sholosh Pabim. V'alim Shiva Dvarim Neged Shiva Brachas V'Elohein. L'Oilam B'Tzedek V'Mishpat V'Chesed V'Rachm V'Emuna V'Yodat Hashem. We went through that already a few times. So these are just some very beautiful numbers to match up between the number seven. Okay. Let's see the Malbim.
Go to the end of the Gra. He says a beautiful thing.
Which one? Where? Vinei Tzedek or Vaiter?
Yes, go
try. Okay, Vinei Tzedek or Mishpat Shneim B'din. Chesed V'Rachem Shneim B'Chesed. Tzedek and Mishpat is Din. Chesed V'Rachem is Chesed. Emun V'Yodat is Hashem Shneim B'Emsa. Ooh, in the middle. Wow, that's interesting. Okay, you have Chesed, you have Din, you have Racha Chesed, then you have things that are in the middle. Ki Emunuhu Klal Kol HaMitzvos. K'moish Amr Rabbi Seinu Zal Bo V'Chavakuk V'Yamin Malachas V'Tzedek V'Yamunus HaYichya. V'dasu klal ha-toyra kula. Okay, al tzedek u'tchila. Okay, this is all over my head. That's why I didn't underline this. This is very esoteric. I can't. These things are a little bit too complicated for me.
Look at the very end on page 42.
Yeah.
He says. 42. Yeah. And he said, what a person is mekadesh, ishtar, keset, nidia, is the three things that a ish is mechayet the ishtar. Mezainis,
redemption. You have to redeem your wife. Seven things to her husband. Okay, that's the Gemara. The seven things that she must do no matter what. Okay, so that's why you have the two numbers, the three and the seven, his obligations and her obligations.
It also mentions one word there. If you look at the pasuk in Aleinu,
yeah.
That's actually a translation of Kadesh, Kadesh, Kadesh.
Why? How do you get that?
Because
it's
Einoid.
What's Einoid?
Einoid means
Loilam?
Limitless.
Why is Einoid limitless? Why? It's Zman. Limitless is not the same thing as time. Kaddish l'olam u'l'yomil maya is a concept of Zman. Zman, I don't know. Alright, now by the way, just going to find out, I just want to prove you this idea. You see, I'm diving every single day. Ata kadosh, v'shimcha kadosh, u'kidoshim b'chol yom yehalalucha sela. Ata kadosh means you, Hashem, your essence, and Shemaim is kadosh. V'shimcha kadosh. What is shimcha kadosh? In this world. In this world, we don't see how we only can relate to Hashem by His name. This is a hidden world. You don't have the essence of Hashem. Ukidoshim b'chol yoyim zman. Every single day, yehalalucha selos. And the bracha of ata kodesh, imcha kodesh, indeed is a bracha is the bracha which captures the three different levels of Kedusha. Now let's just see, we're out of time, so let's just maybe just do a little bit of Malbim, then we'll, tomorrow we're going to go weiter. The Malbim discusses a few things here. Okay, this is very popular, so that's why it's good. I want to just dwell upon a little bit more than we should. Let's go back to the Malbim. Okay, we'll finish up with the Malbim. The Malbim, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Erastikli, V'oz Erois, Oisach Mechadosh, when Mashiach comes, Hashem will remarry us. He will renew our His vows. U'misois Chosen Alkala, Yosis, Olayich Elokoyich, V'yu Erusin Chadoshim, Nivdolim, and Akoyim, it will be a new marriage. It's going to be a new marriage. Kuchnemar V'chati, is Bris Yisrael, Bris Chadoshah. The first marriage was only a limited marriage. It was only meant limited. So Hashem already predicted the first marriage would result in divorce. And a divorce is separation. And I'm back on page 41. I'm doing the Malam, page 41. On the right side, the Be'er Ha'inyan, the Aval Oz Lo Yechet Ha'oid V'Lo Yivuta La'Kesh. But when Mashiach comes, then it's going to be a new marriage. V'Zeru Shammah Ve'Ras Techli Le'Olam. In contrast to the first marriage, which was not meant to last forever, the next marriage, when Mashiach comes, will be Le'Olam. V'Zeya Al Yidei She'Ras Techli B'Tzedek V'Mishpat Ki Shlemus Adam Toli B'Shnei Devarim. So now he goes on to explain very he goes on the pasuk. The first erastich is a general description. I will marry you le'olam, and this marriage will be a two-way street. The next erastich means my obligation to you, b'dvarim shebeinoy lebein chaveroi, so bein adam lachaveroi. And the next one, the next, v'yadat es Hashem bein adam la'mokayim. We all know very similarly that in Yadus there are two different dimensions. There's Adam la categories, Adam la chaveroi and Adam la mokim. They rastichli with tzedek, uve mishpat, uve chesed, uve rachamim represents Adam la chaveroi. They rastichli be'emuna v'yodat es Hashem is Adam la mokim. So when we will commit ourselves bein Adam la chaveroi and bein Adam la mokim, then we will merit the first part. The first veirastich is veirastich li le'olam. So it's really two. It's all together, but we're just explaining the three different parts. B'dvarim shebein adam la'mokim v'neged dvarim shebein adam la'chaver amar she'asu oz b'tzedek mishpat v'shamishpat hu mashi nanag b'kifin b'shus adin v'hatzedek hu mashi yisnag l'fnei b'shus adin. Okay, so he says over there that that's what's the difference between tzedek and mishpat. Mishpat is shuras hadin, the letter of the law. Tzedek represents, at least in this context, according to the Malbim, lifnim mishuras hadin. The Agdei she'ah tovi le'nodon, you will bring, now I don't know what that word means, le'nodon. What does that mean? You know what it means? Le'nodon? Shnei inyonim yikorim shem tzedek u'mishpat yovi hama'oreis lochem k'negdem gam kein shnei hamatanis yikorim shem chesed v'rachon.
No, it means a dowry.
A dowry, okay. So this is really what the Mitzudah says. He's now lifting from the Mitzudah. The Mitzudah says it's reciprocation. Tzedek u'mishpat is our primary duty. And ches and rachamim is Hashem's role. Exactly, we spent time on the first day.
What's
this?
I get what does dowry have to do with this?
That we're giving to the marriage. The Kala also has to give a dowry. It's a dowry. We have to contribute to the marriage, yes. The willingness.
That's tzedek u'mishpat?
Tzedek u'mishpat.
That's from us.
From us. And when we will give tzedek u'mishpat, Hashem will reciprocate and grant chesed and rachamim. This is what the Mitzudos David said. And also Rashi, both the Mitzudos, Rashi did a great life. Rashi and the Mitzudos said this idea. Next, go further. Chesed v'racham shabal racham yashkif al dachus hamerucham. The onyo v'yasi to kifi haroi v'zeneged mishpat v'bal hachesed lo yashkif al hamakabal v'roi rak yasi mo mitzad chesed. Okay, next paragraph. And we're going to finish. Ve'rastich v'neged mitzvah shvin odon l'mokoyim ikoram toli be'emuna she'yamin b'Hashem v'tarasav v'yehudov v'yal ze'omar ve'rastich li be'emuna v'achash etavi harusa b'yodo matona hazoy shehi ha'emuna So this is unique to the Malbim. This is not what Rashi, he says that it's also reciprocation in the last pasuk. What is the reciprocation in the last pasuk? That if you will show faith in me, then you will come to know me. It's a very interesting idea. What is the reward for Emunah? The reward for Emunah is Hashem one day will show you the big picture.
No, that's what we said in the beginning.
Where did we say in the beginning? We didn't say that. What?
We said before the Yedata.
The Malam is saying that that's what the last pasuk means. They rasichli be'emunah. If you will contribute Emunah, then I will reciprocate the odat es Hashem. I will show you, give you a revelation and understand why things had to be the way they were. Clarity. Kadavar hamusog, like something which you can understand, b'chush, you can touch. Shal yitztarchu or lemuna, you will not need emuna. Isn't that amazing? If you have emuna, Hashem will reciprocate with giving you knowledge that does not require emuna. Shemuna hi b'davar she'en loy bo yidiyah berura. Rak kabola, you accept it. Avol heim yi elohem yidiyah l'das Hashem shehu gadol min hamutz, even greater than emuna. Beautiful words. And with that, we will conclude the sugya of Eras Techli Li'olam. Thank you.